I want to wish all of you a very happy Easter. So the epistle for the vigil mass of the resurrection is taken from Colossians chapter 3. Brethren, if you rise with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Mind the things that are above, not the things that are upon the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ shall appear, who is your life, then shall you appear with him in glory. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, when it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and coming rolled back the stone and sat upon it. And his countenance was as lightning, and his raiment as snow. And for fear of him, the guards were struck with terror and became as dead men. And the angel answering said to the woman, "Fear not you, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord was laid. And going quickly, tell ye his disciples that he is risen. And behold, he will go before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I have foretold it to you." Please be seated. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In sacred scripture, Job, the holy man Job, had mentioned, "Where is now my hope? Who will see my hope?" It was because of all the different crosses and trials that Job was undergoing at the time. His wife was telling him that he should curse God. His friends were telling him that he obviously sinned before Almighty God. And so for Job, yes, he questioned that. Where is my hope? It was something that also we see with the disciples, the apostles, at the time of our Lord's crucifixion, with his passion and his crucifixion, that also for them, they walked away from our Lord. They fled because, again, they had lost hope too. The disciples had hoped, and if the hope in Jesus of Nazareth failed, no other hope could ever survive. And so they had hoped that he would redeem Israel. But again and again, we realize that for them, their hope in that was in more of an earthly vision. And yet we know that Christ was triumphing over sin, death, and the devil on the cross. But for the disciples, the apostles, for the people then, all they could see is just the opposite of that. And we think also in sacred scripture of the disciples that are walking to Emmaus. And our Lord rebuked them. One, they didn't know that it was our Lord. He had hid himself from them, as it says in sacred scripture. But he rebuked them by saying, "O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And so for them, yes, they didn't think that he was the Christ, he was the Messiah, because he died on the cross. And yet the prophets had spoken about what our Lord would undergo. There was all the different prophecies concerning, obviously, what would happen to our Lord, him suffering his passion and his death on the cross. And yet you see with these two disciples that for them, they lamented the fact that this was not the Messiah. As they walked along thinking, it's like, "Oh, I thought this was the one." And when our Lord, as I said, he did not reveal himself to them, when he asked them why they looked so sad, you know, that for them they thought, "Where have you been? Did you not know about this Jesus of Nazareth that had come that we thought was the Messiah, and now all of a sudden he is not?" And so that's where then our Lord explains to them all the prophecies, sacred scripture, and helping them to try to see. It was only then when he broke bread with them that they realized that he was Christ, he was the Messiah. But then he disappeared from them. And so, yes, he rebuked them, foolish ones. Did you not understand what he would have to undergo? What the Messiah would have to suffer for all of us? And so that is when, on Holy Thursday, when I had mentioned there were the glories of the cenacle room, but then ultimately it would end in the sufferings of his agony. That this glorious feast, yes, it contains the institution of the priesthood, institutions of the Holy Eucharist. But then the ceremony, as we see, the stripping of the altar. And then once midnight comes, our Lord is gone. And so I think it's something for us that we have to recognize and to realize in our own lives. This idea and the sense of the sufferings of life, the crosses, the trials that we will have to undergo. Whether it's a purification of our souls, whether it's a help to us, a sanctification of the soul, that we may have to undergo these different things. But ultimately, we look at and we see that our Lord won the victory over all of these things. He won it over sin, over death, and then certainly over the devil. And so at this time, we see the compassion that our Lord had. Compassion in peering to his disciples, even twice, because St. Thomas, Doubting Thomas, wasn't there. And so he appeared back and to help Thomas to see. And ultimately, Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." But that compassion that he had on the apostles in peering to them, and then also the compassion in showing to these two disciples in their doubt, in their despair, because they thought this was the one. They had lost hope. But our Lord, in his compassion, explains to them. And so our Lord took upon himself our humanity in order to redeem humanity and ultimately to bring it back to God. And so from that, our Lord, he was a man, we know that. And in his compassion for fallen human nature, he could only achieve this glory as a man, but facing the cross. Because that was the divine will. That was what was for us the means of redemption. It was that our Lord must die on the cross for all of us. And so that is why then we look at even something like Holy Thursday. Yes, the glories that were in the cenacle room led to the sufferings in his agony. And from his agony led to the passion to his death on the cross. And that is the redemption of mankind. And so for Easter Sunday to come, it could only go through Good Friday. So there could be no crown without the cross. And so ultimately, the glory of the resurrection had to come from the sufferings of the passion. And we see ultimately that is our road too. That is the road that all of us will have to travel in some way or form or another. That we too will have to carry our cross, as our Lord had said. If you want to follow him, take up your cross. And so it is the path that we have to take. And maybe in some ways it appears to us too dark, this dark cross, dark road that is there. Just as we see these disciples of Emmaus traveling, that they had lost hope, they had kind of despaired of things. Because, yes, they thought this was the Christ. But our Lord clearly shows that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the path for us. And so he will be the path that will lead us to salvation. And our Lord had said, whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. It is the following of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, yes, the devil may try to incite us to achieve our glory without the cross, without taking that path, that road that is set for us. And ultimately, he tries to bring us to ruin and destruction. And so, therefore, we know the path that we must take. And it is the path that our Lord has invited us on, that our Lord offers to every single one of us. He offers his cross, yes. He asks us to accept the crosses that we have in our daily lives, the difficulties, the struggles that we have. But it's in order to gain eternal life. And so that is where on this road we can see very clearly how death and life come together. Of how our Lord brings these two things together. We can also say pain and suffering brought together with joy. And so from that, we must try to accept that cross and to understand that is the road that we must take. And so that is something that we keyed on, especially during Passion Tide, the cross itself in the liturgy. We know that the cross is our means of salvation, but we must also see that without the cross, there will be no crown. And so if we're trying to gain the crown, we must pass through the cross. And as I say, the cross comes in various forms and sizes for every single one of us. Almighty God knows what is necessary for us. But what he asks from each and every one of us is to accept that. To accept the crosses as they come. And so from that, I will leave you with some consoling words of our Lord. And he says these words to these disciples, the disciples of Emmaus. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. Your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy ever from you. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.